Okay, guys, it's Mother's Day at Grand Christian Church. We're glad to have you here. And this is probably the last in this series of soldiers and servants. And you say, well, Bruce, it's Mother's Day. I know. And that's going to, you're going to get a Mother's Day sermon. But there's not one thing that I'm going to say today that's not good for the goose or the gander and the goose, okay? The male or the female. There's not one thing I'm going to say today that's not good for a young person or an older person, a single person, a married person. Because I want to tell you that there are concepts in the Bible that, as I have been teaching now for a while, when you keep seeing the same thing coming up, comes up in the Old Testament, comes up in the New Testament, comes back up in the Old Testament, comes back in the New Testament, it shows up. These concepts, if you're taking a class and the teacher keeps saying the same thing over and over, you think that might be on the test? Okay. So, Genesis chapter 21, and I'm going to be doing a little scripture scrambling this morning because we're talking about three different folks, okay? But in Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. He spoke that back in chapter 17, talking to Abraham. And Abraham at that point is like 75 years old. Sarah is like 70, 60 something. They start talking about it. How's that good? What? Going to have babies? Going to do it? How is that possible? Okay. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time in which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called him the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac, which means laughter. So, guys, the first person I want to talk about on this Mother's Day and this soldiers and servants. And you say, well, Bruce, why are you still talking about soldiers and servants? Because I want to tell you something. We're in a real battle. We're in a struggle. It's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and high places. And, you know, and here's the deal, guys. These ladies that I'm going to talk about today were people who were key elements in this battle. And the reason that they were able to be key elements in this battle is not just because they were soldiers, but because they walked in that as a servant. Does that make sense? And I'm not talking about a slave, I'm talking about a servant. A servant is someone who chooses, okay? So, first point in Sarah's life, when this story starts, that's an amazing mustache here. Wow. Anyway. That's something. That's been in there floating around a while. I thought it might be, you know, a piece of paper this long or something. Okay. But anyway. When this story starts, first off, she is living in shame. And you say, Bruce, what are you talking about? Sarah, yeah, Abraham was a big deal. A big deal. He was probably, back in those days, they essentially, when you study history, kind of a city king, not a king of a country, but a city. I mean, he had an army. When they come and came against his nephew, he had an army, and his army went against him. I mean, he's a big deal. They didn't have the small tent. Okay, they had the big tent. They were glamping everywhere they went. Okay, it was nice. Okay, they had stuff. In the flesh, they had stuff, but she was living in shame. Do you know why she was living in shame? Because she could not have a baby. She could not do it. It could not happen. She could not fulfill what she considered her purpose, and she was in shame. And I want to tell you something. There's three things that shows up every time in these stories, this story that we're going to talk about with these three ladies. And what the first one is you are not enough by yourself. In herself, she could never have fulfilled her destiny. In herself, she could never have done it. They had tried, couldn't have a baby, okay? And in chapter 12, let me tell you what happens. They are a big deal in this town. They are huge. I mean, they're a trader. They got servants. They got all this stuff. And God says, hey, time to go. I know y'all been comfortable. Time to go. Guess what? God is not about comfort. If you're comfortable this morning, hold on. Bless your heart. Okay? Because God's not about keeping us comfortable. He's about keeping us on track to be the men and women God's called us to be. Well, yeah, just pack all your stuff. We're fixing to go somewhere. You know, the first question I'd say is where? I don't mind going. I like to go. But where? Well, wherever God sends us. I know, but where's he sending us? I don't know. How would you like to get in you mothers, you ladies, anybody, get in the car, somebody, where we're going, wherever God tells us, which direction we're going, wherever he tells us, who we're going to end up with, wherever he tells us. That's faith. Okay? And if I say that, make sure I'm hearing God. Okay, anyway. So, literally, she leaves home. She leaves her comfort. How many of you know that the people that win the Olympics don't stay comfortable? Did you know that? Did you know the people that fulfill their destiny that God has for them this life, they don't stay comfortable? You know, professional athletes, you know, they don't stay comfortable. It's just kind of amazing to me. Then she has the shame of barrenness, okay? Then, if that's not enough, she comes up with this great idea in these years because she can't fulfill it because she's going to go to the flesh to try to fulfill what she can't do. So she brings her maid along and says, well, you know, might as well have a baby by her. And she has this child, and it doesn't work out like she thought it would, okay? She thought it'd all be okay. You know, we think we can do things in our flesh, it's all going to be okay. Did you know it don't work out that way? You better hear God. Okay, so then she's got that reminder of her failure. You got any reminders of failure in your life? She's got all this going on, okay? So then God shows up and says, we're going to fulfill this. And then they have to wait, and they wait, and they wait. It's like 15 years. It's like, and they're going here and going there and going through this and going through that and going through all this stuff. And how many of you guys like to wait? You know, I'm a great waiter. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're laughing from the congregation. Okay. I'm not so patient at times. I'm better than I used to be. Praise the Lord. Okay. But the bottom line is God gives her the desire of her heart. And then when she has that child and he is raised up in her, and then you have this fear situation. And I don't know, it doesn't say one word that I can find about her even knowing what Abraham was doing. But you know, mothers have an intuition, okay? They usually know what's going on because they're sneaky, okay? You girls are sneaky. But anyway, but the point being is, then think about them leading off him to sacrifice him. Think about the fear and the doubt and all that stuff, guys, and all that. She goes through that, but I want to tell you something. Because she was willing to leave home, because she was willing to suffer those circumstances, because she was willing to suffer the shame, because she was obedient to God, because she did all those things. And yeah, did she get sideways a couple of times? Absolutely. But here's the deal. Because of that, as he became the father of many nations, she became the mother of many nations, didn't she? Was it simple getting there? Anybody have a simple life? Anything? Listen, all of us are dealing with change. It's hard. Circumstances are irritating, failures in our own self and people around us. But here's the deal, us being not enough, but the bottom line is God enough. He says, ladies, you're enough if you're with him. He's got it. And I want to tell you, let's look to Sarah and realize that I want to tell you, I love this gal. And I'm going to tell you how she became enough. And this is the last point on her. This is how she became enough. God showed up and said, we're going to make a covenant. And the reason I know she was in on that covenant is because part of covenant is taking on someone else's name. And she went from Sari, okay, to the awe of God's name was put in her name to Sarah. Abram became Abraham. You see what I'm saying? In that covenant, and I want to tell you, that's the last point in with Sarah, is take on the covenant of God. You know, just say, you know what, God? You died. We just had communion. And PGA did a great job, and I was sitting here fumbling around trying to get this thing open, and it wouldn't open. And it's got a little tear back and another tear back, and it wouldn't open. It wouldn't open. It was, I don't know if it'd been in the carton too long or what, but I want to tell you, I had to use a tool to get it out. I had to use a tool. The good news is I've always got a tool. Okay. I didn't have to shoot it off. Praise the Lord. But I've always got a tool, and I want to tell you something. God will provide what you need to get to where you need to get to that covenant. And some of those tools might be the world pushing you in. You say, God, I can't take care of it anymore. Instead of looking to, I'm going to do the next latest thing, the next biggest thing, trying to buy my way out by it. Listen, look to him, because covenant with him is how we're going to get through this life. Does that make sense? Okay, the second illustration, I would love to tell you her name. I would love to tell you her name. I'm not saying this to be funny. I looked it up 3 times. I don't know her name. I went to some extracurricular sources, and they had some they thought was this her name, but I'm not going to use those because they're not in the Bible. Okay? It's Samson's mama. That's what we're going to call her. Okay? Or we can call her Manoah's wife, but we can't call her by name because she... You know, women couldn't vote in this country for a long time. You know that? And I want to tell you, women have been abused, misused. You know, I've worked a lot of my career in crimes against women. And y'all been done wrong. I mean, I know that, okay? And we ain't just done y'all wrong. We've all done each other wrong. Everybody's done, okay. But here's the deal. I can't believe her name ain't in the Bible. I kept looking and kept looking. I said, I know, but here's the deal. She could not have a child. If you want to go to Judges 13 and read it later, okay. But Judges 13 says she was also barren. Once again, God comes to the places that we can't fix. If we could fix it, we would, wouldn't we? If I could save myself, I would. But I can't. I need Jesus. Okay? But here's the deal. She's barren. She can't have a kid. And here's the... Judges 13 and 18. The angel of the Lord shows up. Now, I'm going to tell you how you always know. See, the word angel means messenger, but when it says the angel of the Lord, okay, guess who that is?
Jesus.
A pre-incarnate Jesus. King of angels. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of mighty armies shows up with this barren lady. Because you know why? Because she had a purpose. And I want to tell you, everybody listening today, whether you're man, woman, boy, or girl, you have a purpose. And the King of Angels is here this morning through his Holy Spirit to speak to you about your purpose. If you're 99, he has a purpose for you. And I want to tell you, in 13 and 18, he tells us, hey, you're going to have a child, and you need to give her some direct instructions on how to take care of this child and what he's supposed to do, because Israel needed deliverance. And I want to tell you, the spiritual Israel still needs a deliverance. This country needs a deliverance. This world needs a deliverance. I don't mean, we've got a savior, but we need folks, we need boots on the ground, okay? And so what happens is, they look at him and say, well, what's your name? What's your name? He said, why do you ask my name? It's too wonderful for you. I want to tell you, you say, Bruce, what does that even mean? I want to tell you something. We put God in this little box. You put him in your Baptist box, Assembly God box, Christian church box, whatever box. Listen, he's too wonderful for your box. Whatever box you've been putting him in. We're full gospel. You know what? You got all the gospel you can understand. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't understand God because you ain't God. You don't limit God. He's God, okay? And here's the deal. You say, well, they couldn't be Christians because, you know, they do this. Well, they couldn't be Christians because they do it like this. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You quit limiting God. You quit. Stop. Because I want to tell you something. When I read the story of Samson, I think two things. Hillbilly hooligan. That boy, my Lord. No, I ain't kidding. Read the story. We spent weeks on it right here, okay? But watch this. I mean, then after obeying God, hearing God, doing that, it didn't turn out quite like she thought it was going to turn out. Does anybody else have anything in their life that didn't turn out just exactly like they thought it was? Because I had it all figured out. Y'all have heard my story. 2 or 3 times, probably. But watch this. We're going to be very general this morning so I can get through this so y'all go have chicken or whatever, you know, the meat of your choice or the vegetable or peas or, you know, whatever you want. But here's the deal. Watch this. I'm going to be generic. Samson had a small wild streak, okay? And she had to suffer. Can you imagine sitting around the well with those girls and with the other people there at the well? And he says, what's Samson done now? Well, he's running with them girls down the road. He's doing this over here. He's doing that. Can you imagine that? And God had said, hey, I'm giving you this to deliver your nation. And he's thinking, I don't think he can deliver himself. You know, he's fighting, fussing, and burning people's fields. And here's the deal. Her son's love life isn't exactly what she would have picked out. He's going with Philistines. He's going with Philistines. That's not what he would have picked out. Okay, what she would have picked out. But here's the deal, guys. In the middle of that, did God have a plan?
Yes.
And although I can't tell you her name, I'm going to tell you all them people that Samson delivered from those Philistines, they knew her name. She meant something to them because she was obedient to God. So be obedient to God. And if it don't look like you exactly what you thought it was going to look like, Merry Christmas. You just be part of this clue, this crowd here. Okay. The multitudes that are here this morning. It has not looked, evangelistically speaking. But here's the deal, guys. I love her, and I don't know her name. But I appreciate her. for being an example for us today. And the last example that I'm going to use is probably been used more than any other example, and that's Mary. Now, I want to tell you, God came to Mary, his angel came to Mary, Gabriel, I believe it was, and said, hey, guess what? You're fixing to have a baby. She had a very good question. How can this be? I have not been with a man. So God was about to do for the third time in this sermon. I mean, this, he does it all the time, but in this sermon, he's, for the third time, he's going to go where there ain't nothing and put something there. Where there is lack, there is nothing, and to fulfill his purposes. This is not about us, although I like to think it is, you know, that this is the way the world rotates. This is me, the Bruce Beelen School of Management. You know, here's me and here's the rest of the world. But here's the deal. I want to tell you, she had her life. She was engaged. She had plans. Things was going on. She was getting out of the trailer park. You know, whatever. I don't know, guys. I like trailer parks. So, but here's the deal. If you want to get in a fight, trailer park's a good place. But anyway, or if you want to go to where the next tornado's headed. Okay. So, here's the deal. All this is going on, right? All this is going on. And God, right in the middle of that, says, hey, I want you to play the pivotal role. Not the role, but the pivotal role for the salvation of humankind. This is a teenage girl that her daddy wouldn't trust with a credit card. I'm just using that as an example. I'm just telling you, man, who knows? But I want to tell you, in the middle of that, God goes where there's nothing and makes something for his glory, because it's all about the glory of God. And I want to tell you, I'm going to spend a minute right here. Can you imagine the wagging tongues after this happened? She's, you know, because adultery there was a death sentence. Okay? And he's going to marry her anyway. You know, he's going to marry her anyway. Think about what people were saying and thinking. She had to suffer that. Okay? That was not fun. But I want to tell you, nobody could take away the experience of the angel speaking to her. She knew. And I'm not an angel. Okay? I'm serious when I say that. But what I am is somebody who, I have a message this morning and I'm speaking to you, and God has a plan for your life. And it's, let that seed, moms, females, girls, men, children, let that get into you this morning. And God has a plan for your life. And it may not look like you thought it was going to look. Okay? And I don't know how many different ways I can say that. But I want to tell you, she had also been down, this was a path that nobody else had been down. And you're like, well, we're not all Marys. No, but we're not all the same either. I wish I could tell you, well, just do it like I did it, or just do it like she did it, or just read this book, that'll fix everything. No, God has a different plan for your life, You know, I mean, that my life and God, because you are wonderfully and individually made, as my mom used to, that was her, one of her favorite scriptures to tell other people. But here's the deal. First, she had her rejection, her confusion, all that. But then, what's this, as a mom, her son grows up. Now he's like 29, 30. And they're at a wedding, and he says, she's literally like, when are you going to go with it? These people run out of wine. You know, I don't know this, okay, but the way, as strong as she is on this, she might have said, you know, there's some extracurricular stuff out there that says that he did some miracles as a child. I have no idea, but for some reason, she thought, if he was involved, it was going to be okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Okay. I'm not a detective, but I've watched some on TV. But anyway, but the point is, okay, I'm not currently a detective. But anyway, the point being is this. Literally, guys, the confusion of, well, are you ever going to get on with your life? Are you ever going to get on with the program? And then the pain of it, the people rejecting him. And I'm not talking about the cross. I'm not there yet. I'm talking about the pain of people rejecting him. Well, remember, he came home to his hometown and said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And as they begin, they want to kill him over. Okay? You remember that? Okay? And does it bother you? Does it bother moms when their kids are rejected or treated bad or whatever? Does the earrings come out at the Glenna gymnasium? Okay. Not that I know that story. Okay. When the referees don't do you right. Okay. But anyway, I want to tell you, and then she has to go through the pain of losing her child. I want to tell you guys, and I know that he had probably said to her also, when he told his disciples, that, hey, this is going to be all right. But I want to tell you, I don't care how many times somebody tells me something's going to be all right when I'm sitting there looking at my kid suffering the way he suffered, not even looking like a man anymore. And I'm not saying this happened. I'm saying I'm putting myself in that place. Okay? But I want to tell you something. Let's say one of my kids becomes governor of the state of Colorado. I'm expecting, you know, a little attention, okay? I'm expecting some free plane rides. I'm expecting some, you know, maybe a contract or two with the state of Colorado. But anyway, I mean, I'm not saying she thought that. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm just saying all of the disappointment, all of that, but she goes through that, but then, guess what? He returns alive 3 days later. The suffering becomes joy. And I want to tell you guys, some of you have suffered. Men, women, boys and girls, some of you have been rejected, some of you, but I want to tell you, right there in that pain, God is creating a purpose. And in that purpose, God will be glorified. And what he's looking for is mothers this morning, fathers, single ladies, single men, children, to say yes to his purpose, his plan. And guys, I want to tell you, that's the message today, is say yes to his plan. If you'll bow your heads with me today. God, as you have spoken to us today, Lord, through your word, it's clear. The Lord, there's going to be people hear this, see this, whatever, that are going through, there's a place in their life where it just seems dead. But Lord, you're wanting to put life where there is no life. That you do a miracle, Lord, that you bring a child, a birth, whether it's an idea, whether it's a business, whether it's a whatever it is, Lord, whether it's a book or a song or Father, what in that dead place, Lord, that you would bring forth, Lord, what you want to bring forth for your glory. You're looking for vessels today, God, and some of our vessels are empty. And Lord, we've all suffered. And in that, Lord, we look to you. And Lord, I pray that our suffering, our struggle, Lord, in that would be birth, Lord, your will and not our will, and your kingdom and not our kingdom, and your fruit, oh God, like Jesus, like Samson, like Isaac, oh God. In the middle of our despair comes destiny, God. So Lord, do that. We submit ourselves to you. If you're here this morning, you say, Lord, I need to just lay down my life this morning and say, Lord, let it be yours. Let me live the life you've called me to live. I'm empty. Fill me, oh God. And Father, I pray a blessing today, Lord, over the mothers. And Father, this is the day that we set aside and just said, thank you for all you've done, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for all the mother figures that I've had, including my biological mother, including, Lord, all the ones that I've mentioned through the years. But Lord, not just my mother figures, but my sisters, Lord, that help keep me straight every day, Lord. My wife, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for them. And I pray that you would bless them today. In Christ's name I pray. Have a great day. God bless you, keep you, let his light shine on you, and give you peace.